It's weird to look at myself with my sty.
Yeah, you got a little Popeye thing going on. Flawless. You started with arg, which is a famous Popeye quote. Arg! Where, you know, he's just chewing on the naga hide of a recliner.
Sailor, not pirate. Sorry, I screwed up.
Yeah, he's in an organized navy, so there's no reason to call him do the pirate voice. He is a sailor man.
No one who was in any sort of navy would eventually all become pirates. That's not how that pipeline works.
That's true. They would only do that if they wanted to get their hands on some cool-ass hats. Otherwise?
And some booty.
Now, I've never heard that play on words before.
Speaking of booty, this is Your Inner Child's an Idiot. This is the podcast where we look back on things from our childhood and see if they're any good to begin with. My name is DJ.
I'm Damon.
So I gave you a little hint there. This is a...
Did you?
This is going to be something we haven't visited a ton in our oeuvre. This is a raunchy teen comedy from the 90s. In fact, one of the most influential of the late 90s. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it American Pie?
It is American Pie, because I feel
like... Don McLean rolling in his grave. Is he dead?
I don't think so, maybe. He's still singing the original version of American Pie because it's like 49 hours long.
Yeah. I'm always like, I think this is the second to last verse before it slipped. Nope, there's another verse that gets faster than the last verse.
We have had that requested on gigs, and we're always like, we will do it, but we will do a 3-minute version because that's ridiculous. And they're like, we have to do the full one. And we're like, nope. That counts as 4 songs. We're not doing that.
Got to keep up with this jester, and he's like a metaphor for something. Is the jester Nixon?
He is the Chevy that is driven to the levee, I believe.
Oh, okay. So the jester is a metaphor for another metaphor in the song. Interesting.
Yeah.
Don McLean, I wrote you off too soon.
And the levee is the brink of the breaking of American democracy. So he drove us to the levee, which is the edge of what was the destruction of America.
The weird thing is, the good old boys are Eugene Levy.
So, how did this movie affect you when it came out? Because...
I'm a homosexual, so not much. I remember seeing
it enter you into your Jason Biggs phase?
I mean, every gay man does go through a Jason Biggs phase, whether from American Pie or Orange is the New Black, I guess. I didn't have a Jason Biggs phase. I know. Everyone, sit down. Oh. Sit down for a minute. I'm a unique flower, and so I didn't have that. I remember seeing it at a friend's house because it was kind of a thing. And I remember, I mean, I didn't see it in theaters. I waited until video and watched it then. Who's in this? There are some hotties and some mathematical hotties that I have no interest in. You know, there's
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yes. That's the best thing we got out of this is Jennifer Coolidge. Jennifer Coolidge entered into the mainstream and the bloodstream of American pop culture. We have, what's his name? Stifler.
Yeah.
Sean Mendes. What's his name? Sean Locke. What is his name?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It's a 3-name. He's a 3-name. Sean Chad Michael Vincent.
It's Sean Aston Martin, I believe.
Ah, yes, of course. Sean Aston Martin.
We will look up these names. We will do a little bit. This is the off the dome part of the podcast, and I don't remember.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in these.
Is he? I don't think so. Is he? I don't think so.
I think he is. And I think this is a rare instance where he is in it with his doppelganger, Thomas Ian Nicholas, is also
that guy is definitely in this. Yeah. Friend of the podcast from Rookie of the Year.
Friend of the pod. Who else is in this fucking?
Natasha Lyonne is in this. Isn't she the friend of? God, I don't know. Now I should have looked this up.
I'm blurring all the. Eugene Levy is in this.
Yes, he's the dad.
And
was there a connection between this and the Christopher Guest first? Is that why that we have
Levy. Both Levy and Coolidge in here? I hope so. Dear God, I hope so.
Because we've got
mostly the where's my check so I can continue doing Christopher Guest good movies.
I looked it up because we're floundering so much with the names. Okay, we got Sean William Scott.
There's a lot of flop sweat.
Sean William Scott.
Thank you.
Allison Hannigan, of course.
Oh, right. Okay. Also, that nondescript, attractive guy who you can't imagine actually having sex, Chris Klein.
Yeah. Tara Reid, famously. The guy who played Shitbreak, or Paul Finch, Eddie K. Thomas. He was not.
Shitbreak?
That's what they call him in this movie, because he leaves school. I think it's he leaves school to take a dump, which is a pretty good move if you can make it happen. And so they call him Shitbreak, which is actually a pretty clever nickname, too. I kind of like that. I didn't remember that until just now.
Am I misremembering and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is not in these movies?
I don't think he is. I think you made that up out of whole cloth.
Thomas Ian Nicholas is in these movies.
Yes. And Shannon Elizabeth is in this. All of her.
I have a feeling if you could keep the problematic corner warm for me, I feel like we're going to be visiting some of that.
Yes, we'll be in there. Mina Suvari.
Oh, yeah.
John Cho. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay, so we've got a lot of people to talk about.
The people who took Hollywood by storm shortly after this. All those names we cherish to this day.
Tell me how this affected the straight boys in your high school. Because like for us, it was, I wouldn't say this was a Tommy Boy for us was like an obsession. Billy Madison. We were into like those comedies. This sort of raunchy comedy, I definitely thought it was funny. And I definitely liked it. And I'm sure in ways that now looking back on it, that could be considered problematic. And we'll be reflecting on the pattern of that. But we weren't like the guys who are like super into this movie, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, I feel like it was, well, what year does this come out?
99. So we would
okay. So it would be 17. Right when we would be able to go see a movie like this. Yeah. But I will say, like, I feel like the raunchy sex comedies had sort of disappeared from theaters for a while. I feel like in the 90s, there was this era of no, make everything PG-13 so that more people can go see it. And there's still some of that around today. But this was an instance of like, no, we're going to make a hard R movie.
Yeah.
And sort of in the, I guess, I don't think as bad in terms of problematicness, but in the vein of Porky's and those sort of 80s, 70s, 80s movies. And I feel like that was a big thing. And I think because we were just at the right age for this to hit, I would have been in my senior year when this came out. I think within my class, it was a big thing. And I feel like I knew all sort of the jokes and gross out moments. And this one time at band camp stuff was already in the hallways of Beach Senior High School before I even saw one frame of this film.
Yeah, I think a similar thing happened with the other, one of the other big movies around this era, the Austin Powers, there were, and I don't think this is the same level of movie in a lot of ways, but it's a different kind of raunchy film, but that one was also raunchy in its own right. And it was like, people would quote what I considered the wrong things.
I'm familiar with this logic. Yes, go ahead.
we talked about this a bit with Austin Powers, where it's like, no, you're liking it wrong.
Gatekeeping. We call that gatekeeping at this point.
You might call it douchebaggery overall.
Being a pretentious snob, which is, you know, my bread and butter.
It's one of my favorite things, it would seem.
I have a feeling that, you know, while we just lambasted ourselves for that sort of thinking, I feel like I'm going to watch this and there will be moments I really like that are not the quote-unquote moments. Yeah. The parts that don't involve a phallus in pastry.
So you're saying that unlike when you were a kid, now you enjoy it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm finally able to see the nuance and the subtext of American Pie.
I'm glad to see that we've evolved and changed and grown. We'll be back after this. Please watch along with us. I'm going to play a little game for our commercial.
Please.
I'm going to start the sentence and then you end it, okay?
Yeah. Got it. My therapist says this is good.
It's been...
ejaculated into a beer.
I mean, topical, but doesn't really help with our Patreon commercial.
True. How would me saying 1 week also help with the Patreon commercial?
Let's start it again.
You're right. Hold on, let me clear my head. Let me get it out of my system. Go ahead. Recording a woman against her will.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
We don't do that on our podcast.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was in the wrong headspace. Give me one more shot.
I'm not sick, but I'm not well.
Suck me beautiful. Good? Am I getting closer each time?
Yeah, you pretty much got it. Patreon.com/innertrialsandidiot. Become a patron of the show. Help us make more of these witty references.
Do I have like the Susan Lucci filter on? Do I look blurry to you?
Yeah, you want to do a little wipey wipe? This whole movie is a problematic corner. I don't know when to pop into the problematic corner, but we should probably recap first at least, and then maybe pop in there.
I think the right thing to do would be to end. Then we'll want to do a Trading Spaces on the problematic corner, spend a good weekend getting it ready for this movie. And then this movie will come in and tell Hildy that they didn't want it to be brown. That's a reference to nothing.
Again, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what? Why don't you recap your movie? Okay. This was your movie that you wrote and directed.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and recap it for
us? Yeah. There's some teen youths, some friends who decide they make a pact that they are going to have sexual intercourse, consensual sexual intercourse before they graduate.
I just had a vision of a completely different movie that I would probably direct where I'm like, there's a loophole, boys, where you can all lose your virginities.
It did not say it had to be heterosexual. That was not in the rules. And most of them do.
Wait.
American Pie. Let's see.
Does someone not?
It's said that Oz and Heather don't.
It is said.
It is written in the tome.
It has been prophesied that Oz shall not lose his virginity.
And, you know, we don't see.
He does say that, but I was wondering if he was just not kissing.
He could have just been being a gentleman. They did, you know, canoodle.
That's the great thing about American Pie. It's open to interpretation.
Yeah. We never really recover from that as a society, whether
it's pretty much the Mulholland Drive of teen raunchy sex comedies.
That's, I mean, shenanigans in between, but that's pretty much the size of it.
Oh, well, that was it. Okay. I feel like we're getting into a good groove of just like, what, two sentences is fine. You either watch the movie or you didn't. If you don't remember this film, you're not listening to this episode.
We've got our characters. I'll go through. We got...
Do we have our characters? I definitely remember all of them, but I'm going to go ahead and let you list them for me.
We got Jim, our main character. That's Jason Biggs. Yep. Starring role, just the beginning of his meteoric rise to doing more of these films. And then we've got Allison Hannigan as Michelle, one time at band camp. We've got Chris Klein as Oz.
Ozymandias, who eventually, it turns out he's the one who destroyed the Earth's population or whatever.
You don't got to spoil the Watchmen to do our American Pie recap.
If you don't remember the Watchmen, you're not listening to this episode.
We have friend of the show, close friend of the show, Thomas Ian Nicholas, who plays Kevin. We've got Tara Reid as Vicky. We've got Sean William Scott in A Star Turn as Stifler.
Yeah. Also a career that led to doing more of these films.
Yeah. We've got A Starrer Turn with Jennifer Coolidge as Stifler's mom.
God bless her.
The delightful Natasha Lyonne as Jessica. Shannon Elizabeth as Nadia, the Czechoslovakian at the time. Foreign exchange student. We have Eddie K. Thomas as Finch or Shitbreak.
Yeah.
And we have Chris Owen as the Shermanator. I don't know why I wrote him on the cast list.
Did you mention Eugene Levy yet?
Yeah, Eugene Levy was going to be my last name. Eugene Levy as Jim's daddy, who does not get named in this film, but later is named Noah. But
I didn't. Okay. I didn't even notice that he was. So we had Stifler's mom and Jim's dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Me and Tyler did watch the trailers to the rest of the quadrilogy, and I think eventually Stifler's mom and Jim's dad get together.
Oh, it doesn't work out with Finch?
I guess not. No. And I like that you weren't concerned about Jim's mom. She dies of cancer in the third one.
Oh,
it's a real heartbreaking turn.
Jeez.
No, I think they just get a divorce. Can you imagine? American Pie, this is not your lane. This is,
it's kind of like
do that.
When a sitcom has like a very special episode and you're like, why are we doing this? It's sweeps.
Well, NBC gets a tax break from the government if they have 1 to 2 very special episodes per season. So that's why A Different World is dealing with stealing this episode.
Is that what Sweeps Weeks is? It's not so much that they're trying to get advertisers to sign up for the next season. It's that they're trying to get that sweet, sweet government money.
They're trying to get values passed on to the American people. That's what they're trying to do. We're sweeping away the filth.
The filth from the
immorality.
Yes, that's good. Just a quick thing before we, I feel like we gotta jump into a problematic corner just for...
All of it?
Well, just...
I mean, not all of it. Go ahead.
Just to set up some things. But before, I think...
Let's define our terms.
We need some real clarity here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lauren asked me and I was like, I think it's a little bit up to their interpretation, but I have an answer. What are the bases? When you were growing up, what are the bases?
Ah, interesting. The heterosexual bases, I assume?
I mean, this movie, I would say, was probably talking about the heterosexual
bases. Yes, of course. Yeah. This movie was definitely only talking about the heterosexual bases.
I want to hear about the homosexual bases, but let's do that second. Because you're
third
a second
base
class
is penetrative sex in gay bases.
First, second, third, and home run are all just penetrative sex.
Yeah, I guess the... let me think. I thought first base is over-the-shirt action... Second base, under the shirt action. Third base, some finger blasting.
Yep.
And fourth base, home, as it's known in American baseball. In Canadian baseball, of course, it's fourth and fifth base, is penetrative sex.
I always thought kissing was first base.
Mm-hmm.
Second base was unclear whether it was over or under, but any sort of boob stuff. And then third base is pants stuff.
Yeah.
And then... home run is penetrative sex. And
I have a question,
though. Lauren made a good point. She's like, what is second base for the girl?
That was my question. Go on.
And the answer is
boob stuff.
This is not for the girl. No girl is talking about this.
Right.
No, that is not true, of course, categorically, but generally speaking.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah. I mean, is there a step before? I mean, there's kissing. Is there a step before I am now holding your penis in my hand? At least beclothed or unclothed penis.
Are you talking about
in a heterosexual coupling where the woman is also formulating her bases?
Yeah, because, I mean, you wouldn't, I mean, you could feel up a guy's chest, but that doesn't probably count as a base. That's like whenever.
Feel free to do it whenever. I just realized that, and forgive me for only just now realizing this, I am a cis male, so I'm still just a fucking idiot. But I just realized we're treating women... bodies as a baseball diamond.
You don't say.
It's just, they are just a faceless field of play for us to manipulate.
Now, you might be onto something about maybe the whole attitude of teens in this movie, and
I've become concerned.
Teens of the 90s, to be honest, about.
I've become concerned that we are not treating women well in the society. Is that possible?
I think it's possible. I don't want to say with any certainty other than absolute
certainty.
Even in
the golden age of 1999, when we were all just making fun of Monica Lewinsky's weight constantly on national TV.
Oof.
It was a great time to be alive.
Let's just go ahead and pop into the problematic corner. Let's go.
Are we just going to? Okay.
Let's go.
Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Damon's got a problem, baby. Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Let him know about it.
Wow, why do we build it so far away?
It's still in the baseball field, but it's in like right field. It's where like the ball,
the shortstop,
caroms around.
Coach and the is there.
Fielder's like running around. It's like, can't quite get it. Okay, so the purpose of the problematic corner is to sort of encapsulate the things that might kind of take you out of this
quarantine
movie.
Quarantine them.
That's not really going to work with this movie, but what we're going to do our best because the kind of the whole thing exists within the problematic corner.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things I want to talk about is just the fact that Casey Affleck pops out of nowhere.
That's the problematic corner? Wait, is he problematic?
He has been, it's alleged, he's been sued for sexual assault. It's not good. But never convicted. So, you know, because this is a court of law.
It's allegations, so.
And because I definitely think he listens to the show. I just want to be sensitive to that it's all alleged.
Yeah. Well, we started as a Gone Baby Gone podcast, and then it just evolved into what it is now.
It used to be called Damon Baby Damon, which is another reason that we changed it because it didn't make any sense.
And yeah, and it was DJ by the Sea for a while. That was fun. Okay, so Casey Affleck was there. I was thrown off by that. And what was he? He was Thomas Ian Nicholas's
brother,
older brother?
Who's
in college.
Reveals the location of the...
of the tome.
Yeah, the magic tome that teaches him how to pleasure a woman. Another thing that just exists in the problematic corner is like female agency overall.
Yeah, I mean, female agency in general, it's not this movie's bread and butter. Females at all. I mean, all the women, I mean, one of my main problems, this is my problem with the problematic corner, trying to put this movie in there, is that everything intersects with something problematic. Yeah. So we're just going to have to be here for the entire movie. because I wanted to talk about how all the characters are so poorly defined in this movie, aside from maybe Stifler and Finch, that all the other guys in between those two extremes are just this like shade of gray. Like I could not identify any characteristics of one from the other, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And the women are even worse because they're all just like vaginas on legs. Like that is the purpose of these women. They're not really defined at all.
They got to move around somehow. You know?
It's true. How are we going to get these vaginas in here? Wait a minute. They have legs.
Brilliant. Write that down.
They're just all, I mean, aside from Natasha Lyonne, whose character is only saved by the fact that she is played by Natasha Lyonne, who is a charm bomb and is always charming in every role she plays. All the other women, I could not tell you anything about them, aside from the ones that are punchlines, like Allison Hannigan's character, who is more defined in the later movies, because I guess she marries Jim based on the trailers I saw. In this, she is a joke.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Mina Suvari, I mean, she says, oh, people think I'm a good girl. And then, I mean, that's all she says. And then there's nothing really that interesting about her. All we know is she's just suddenly there when Chris Klein starts tagging Jazz. And because she's, the camera keeps leering at her, I'm like, oh, she must be the character that he is interested in. We don't, it's so nondescript. Everyone in this movie is so nondescript.
Yeah.
Do you not feel that way?
No, I do.
I felt like I was confused. The boys are all, they seem to be popular enough. They don't seem to be like bullied or picked on. They're going to cool parties held by Stifler, the most popular guy in school, or the party animal or whatever, the Jim Belushi of the school. But there's, I couldn't tell you anything about them. Like they are not defined from each other in any way, aside from Finch, who drinks coffee and crosses his legs. Everyone else is nondescript.
Yeah, they do kind of overlap a lot.
I guess Chris Klein is supposed to be the jock, right?
Yes, yeah. And
Jim is our everyman.
Yes, and Kevin is the sort of, he's in the couple. He's like the girlfriend guy.
That's his defining characteristic. Yeah. Interesting. None of them are particularly funny either. It's not a very one-liner heavy movie.
No, I mean, it's got some quotes, but while we're in the problematic corner, I just also want to point out the, I've read this word before, but I had to look it up because now I'm on some sort of list somewhere, but it's not pedophilia when you're interested in a late teenager. It's ephebophilia, which is, ooh, I believe what Stifler's mom would categorize as her affliction.
Right, because she likes scotch aged 18 years, just like her men.
Had to make sure that we knew that he was 18, although the actor was not.
Oh, wow. He was well, you never see them do anything to each
That's
other
exactly
on camera,
why.
So there you go. The closest I came to liking a character, I did like Chris Finch. Not Chris Finch, that's a character from The Office, The British Office, Peter Finch. Is that his name?
I actually don't know.
Shitbrick?
It's Finch. I actually don't know what
Finch-y.
His first name is.
Finchy. Oh my God, he's so low in the thing. It's just Finch in here.
The main problematic, I feel like this is going to be the sort of headline. This falls under female agency, but this is like the headline problematic element. Is the fact that they live stream,
oh my God, yes.
Nadia in Jim's bedroom and taking off her clothes. And
this was the one that, I mean, that is like outright offensive because it's illegal in some sense.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like convictable as opposed to just sort of gross. It is both.
Let's set this up because it's grotesque. Nadia, who I couldn't tell you if she has interest in Jim at all.
She seems to.
She seems to because all of a sudden she's just in his house undressing and then masturbating to his porno rags.
Jim tries to approach her at the party earlier and just kind of fumbles, but she's like looking at him. She clearly seems to have some sort of crush on him, and he obviously has a crush on her. So like,
right.
And she immediately wants to, she's the one that proposes, hey, let's study together.
Right. And she's like, I'll be out from ballet practice. I'll need to change while I'm at your house. So he takes that opportunity to film her undressing in his room and then send a private URL to his friends.
He only tries to send it to his friends, Damon.
So that's where it's okay. There's a complete accident that he sent it to everyone else.
Yeah.
The rules state that you can send it to up to 5 individuals against a person's will. But beyond that, that is when the law has
Your Honor, started. I only attempted the murder. Is there a crime in that? Yes.
Do they give a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry? That is a Sideshow Bob quote, I feel.
Yeah, just in case anybody thinks we're funny.
Just in case grammar comes after me. Yeah, so that's disgusting. She's not even, I mean, she's not, I mean, this would not absolve him, but she's not even engaged in any sexual activity with him. She's just getting undressed.
Well.
From my memory of the movie, I thought they were like hooking up and he's filming
it, but
no. Well, she does
start to pleasure herself.
Right. Apropos of nothing, because this movie thinks that women act like they do in porno movies, she decides to sort of take her sweet time in getting undressed, go through Jim's things. You're not off the hook, Nadia. That is impolite. You don't go through people's stuff just because you're changing out of your ballet thing. You can also go to prison for that. Only in California.
I was going to say.
And
yeah.
she starts masturbating.
It's gauche, not so much illegal.
She starts masturbating to his porno rags that he keeps in his bedside table. And then he comes in while she's getting undressed. And then she's like, oh, come sit with me. Natural. She wouldn't be offended at all. She wouldn't be bothered. Then Jim finds out that he accidentally sent the link to the whole school and she's sent back to Chechnya or whatever.
It was Czechoslovakia, which...
Czechoslovakia. Sorry, I should have known that.
Would be either the Czech Republic or Slovakia now.
Right. They've got a thriving gay porn industry. I should have remembered that Czechoslovakia was involved. So the fact that she is sent back home, that her life is completely overturned, is sort of just treated as a throwaway line. And then later, during the epilogue, over the credits, we see Jim just having a webcam conversation with her. It's very sweet and fine.
Not so much a webcam conversation as...
Oh, right. He gets dressed. He starts stripping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In much the way that he did when they were in his bedroom. That whole thing is, it's just the setup of it is gross and really not cool. And I think it's emblematic of sort of a lot of the problems of this movie, which is like, it's got an overtone of incel energy of the nice guy, I deserve sex from women, that kind of vibe.
Smiled at me at a party, so naturally I can film her getting undressed.
Which, this is not a defense, but I also think if we're talking about a realistic depiction of teens in the 90s, is not necessarily off base.
No, or teens now.
Or teens now, but less so, but still. Yeah.
Or grown men now.
Yes, definitely that.
That's probably the crown jewel of offense. The rest is like standard raunchy sex comedy offense. Yes. But that also is emblematic of how this movie like treats female characters. They just sort of are open to any advances that come towards them. And they're sort of treated like porno ladies. It's obvious that the person writing this is not a woman and doesn't have experience with women. It just feels very, they're just always just going along with it. They misunderstand things. And then the minute the guy apologizes or makes some modicum of effort, they're like, oh, you are fantastic, Chris Klein. Thank you for running over here and just getting changed sweatily into your jazz choir outfit.
Just to replace this actually much better singer that came up.
This is not really a problematic corner.
Let's get out of the corner and then we can talk about it.
Okay, we can get out of there. We can dip back in if necessary.
Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Damon's got a problem, baby. Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Let him know about it.
This movie has way too many fucking characters in it. I felt like by act three, I feel like most of your characters should be introduced. And I felt like characters just kept coming in. And I'm like, wait, who's the coach now? And then the kid in the singing competition was like my prime example, where all of a sudden I was supposed to be aware that he's a jerk and needs his comeuppance. I'm like, who is he? He's had like one aside off camera. And all of a sudden I'm supposed to be invested in him like getting kicked out of the singing competition. And the movie like even gives him a beat of being humiliated because this other girl is like, you fucking suck, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is? I don't even know his name. And what annoyed me about that is like John Cho plays a character in the same fucking jazz choir. I'm like, you already had him at the party scene at the beginning. Use him. You've already established this character. But I felt like they were just kept coming in with new things. I'm like, you have four guys. Could you spend just 5 minutes differentiating one from the other rather than introducing random characters throughout this fucking movie?
There's a little tidbit. And again, with all of these sort of behind the scenes quotes too, I don't want to lean in too much of that the writer of this movie like wrote it within like a month after just watching Porky's and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I think that the nuance of those movies and the timeline of writing it over the course of like 4 weeks or whatever it was comes across in stuff like that, where it's just like, it's not, I will say it's not long.
You know what? It is not long.
It is, as they said on SNL, a short ass movie, which I appreciate. some of that stuff could have been like one more or a couple more passes with the pen could have been like, hey, what if we use that guy that we've already got?
Lose some of these characters.
We have a future superstar John Cho here. Why don't we, he's popularizing the term MILF in the first scene. Now we've already established his character.
I don't know what his name is, but he does say MILF in the first scene. And then he later shows up in jazz choir having very few lines. And then, you know, he's just sort of around there. And I'm like, hey, that's John Cho. There he is.
He wasn't John Cho yet.
He wasn't the John
that's
Cho.
That's right.
He was a John Cho.
I do think there's something.
Oh, and Shermanator. That, sorry, not to interrupt you. Yeah. That was another thing. I was like, I don't care about Sherman. I don't need Sherman to have his comeuppance. He's like barely a character. And aside from like his styling, which grossed me, all the spikes and points on him. The movie also, once again, like tries to make him out as a villain at the end. Like, he didn't actually lose his virginity. I'm like, I guess we showed him.
Yeah.
He was the idiot who spent time talking to this girl, like probably the most respectable man. Well, maybe not that respectable, because he does seem to insinuate that he slept with her, even though he didn't, now that I think about it. But like, the movie really wants me to be invested in fucking Sherman. I'm like, I don't care. Can you spend any time on these other characters that you build as our heroes?
Especially when one of our main four, Finch, like does lie or like has lies told about him to like build his reputation. So it's like,
and that's all off camera. Like that's like a reveal. It was probably the most charming thing. Yeah. Like, he's paid Natasha Lyonne's character to sort of build him up amongst the girl populace at the school. And they actually have what almost counts as a cute moment at the prom scene where they're dancing together and she's like, you have no chance of scoring with me. And he's like, yeah, I know. But it's kind of a cute moment.
Yeah. I do want to say there is some, one of the accurate things about this, I do feel like there's this kid, the always the kid that like acts older. You know, he's Finch's, was that you? Finch's.
I don't want to talk about it right now.
Drinking coffee.
I mean, I was balding at 17, so.
Yeah, drinking a mochaccino, I should say. Mm-hmm. And he's crossing his legs and he like, you know, wants a single malt whiskey and he, yada, yada. He's
reading books in the hallway like a fucking jerk.
He poops at home, which if given the chance, I think you should all poop at home. If in any situation, if pooping at home is an option, take it.
Absolutely. And this wasn't my high school, but my middle school didn't have stall doors.
What?
Like, what the fuck? It didn't have stall doors, so I had to poop at home. I'm not going to poop in the open. What are you talking about? There were walls, but I mean, just wide open.
That's
ridiculous.
Wide
open front. It's middle school. This is cutthroat. It's Survivor out here. You can't be having me poop in front of everyone. You insane?
That's very prison-esque.
Yeah. They also didn't have toilet seats. And one of the, you had to avoid one toilet because someone was making prison gin. So
just as an aside, in case anybody doesn't know, and I don't know if I've already said this on the podcast, but same toilet stall door, toilet seat situation at Versailles. If you've ever, I don't know, had the shits when you're at Versailles walking around the gardens and you really have to go, it's a bad place to poop.
There's no doors in Versailles. They have a hall of mirrors, but no doors.
This was in the garden. So there are public restrooms, but there definitely was no seat. I'm trying to remember if there was a door, and there definitely was no toilet paper. So I had to use my overseas minutes to call my darling wife to, I don't remember. I think she brought me something, Kleenex or something. Oh, I don't know. She didn't just like have toilet paper, but it worked out okay. But I'm just saying.
Maybe if you had looked, there would have been three shells.
That's probably what it was.
Wow. Well, that was it. The Versailles hot dogs don't have the Versailles hot dogs.
That was the Louvre, the hot dogs.
Okay. I can't get over this. I've already referenced it, depending on which edit we decide to go with for the final cut, but coming in beer.
Yeah, sure.
Now every bedict person is built different. I don't know about you, and we don't have to go into it if you don't feel comfortable. But when I'm about to ejaculate, I usually don't have the wherewithal or time to suddenly study my surroundings, grab an out-of-place half-drunk beer, and then sort of turn my body to unload into it.
Yeah.
That is the most ludicrous thing I'd ever seen. Just get a fucking Kleenex like a normal Christian person.
Or like...
Well, not a Kleenex. Those are useless. But something. Who's like, hold on, honey, into this beer.
It's gross out humor, and it was gross, so I guess.
It was gross, and I was also confused by Stifler because, look, I've been around the block a few times. I, even in my knowledge, I don't know if I would be able to identify. I would understand that the beer would taste weird.
It doesn't, yeah.
I don't know if I would identify immediately what was weird about it.
Or that it would make you vomit necessarily, especially like volume to volume.
Right, he was
his load compared to a full cup of like a full glass of beer. We're talking,
it sounds
like
he had a Louvre hot dog,
8 to 10 ounces of beer.
He had a sip of beer, a glug of beer,
and gum. Compared to how much could it possibly be in jizz? 4 or 5 cups? No, I'm just kidding. I think you'd be like, this beer tastes different and it's salty and weird. And I don't care for it. But I don't think it would immediately...
Or it could taste like cantaloupe. Is there cantaloupe in this beer, possibly? Someone have a healthy breakfast?
I mean, he must have... I guess you could potentially realize what it was, and that the thought of it being so heterosexual makes you vomit. Because really, the thought of anything, you know, if it
unheterosexual.
Makes you, well, just anything can... If it makes you feel sick, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, I feel like. Have you tried saying suck me beautiful to anyone? Has that ever worked in your...
No, I feel I haven't. I haven't, even though, you know, I'm a Lothario and a Don Juan.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't tried that. It does seem like something I'd love to hear from someone who cared about me. Maybe from Chris Klein, though. I can't believe... He is such... he's another fucking... I can't tell if his character is terrible or he is terrible. I want to say possibly the latter. Chris Klein is a very handsome person who seems like he like got his handsome looks from a genie who is like, but you also have to have terrible hair. Like, he has the worst hair for on a hot person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like negating the other 95% of him down below. It's like, this hair is bad. What is happening here?
Would you have gone for it in 1999, Year of Our Lord?
No, even then I was like, what's wrong with him? Why is he doing this? It seems like he made a deal with the devil or something. We'll put you in as many American Pie movies as you want. And one Farrelly Brothers movie that no one saw. But you have to slick back your hair for no reason.
You're going to have to skip one of the American Pie movies for rehab.
Wait, is that true?
Yes. So, aww, Chris. Hope you feel good about yourself. I'm the one who brought it up, but I'm going to make you feel bad about it.
And he also is a charisma vacuum. He is, I don't know what, like, he sounds so blank that he almost seems sweet, like almost clueless, like a puppy. And so when he says, suck me beautiful, I'm like, what the hell was that? It gave me emotional whiplash because he seems so nice. And then he tries this suck me beautiful line. He's apparently like, apparently not hooking up with a college girl, but going on casual dates with a college girl who is teaching them the ropes. Don't worry, she never appears again and we get no more information about them.
I'm also like, she's like super honest with him. She doesn't seem mad. She seems like... thinks that's ridiculous and tells him so. And I'm like, why are we not going, at least hanging out with her, even if you don't hook up? Like, she's clearly got something to teach you.
Right. And then she just disappears for the rest of the movie because she's a woman and who gives a shit?
Fair enough.
She won't sleep with him, so why would she even be in the movie?
The scenes of Chris Klein and Mina Suvari acting at each other or God save us singing at each other.
Oh, I was a little angry. I was like, these people aren't even that good. And then I remembered what actual high school choir things were. I'm like, of course a high school would do. What song do they sing at each other?
Need a shelter. Someone's on there. Yeah. You were.
There you were. I gotta stop. That's no more singing, actually.
How sweet it
seconds,
is
that's
to
it.
Be loved by you.
They sing that at each other. It's terrible, but realistically terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
did you hate Mina Suvari as well, or did you just feel like she had nothing to act against?
She wasn't great in this movie. I mean, the only other thing that I can think of seeing her in was American Beauty. Got to have the word American in it somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. That's her role.
And I don't remember, I haven't seen that in a very long time, so I don't remember it well enough to remember her role. I don't remember being off put by her acting as I was in this, but it was them being wooden around each other in the same scenes. It was like, ooh, feel the chemistry.
It's overwhelming why he would chase her down and leave her as lacrosse team. I didn't think she was bad. I just thought she had nothing to work with. And not to mention, I mean, him and the script combination, what's she going to do? She just has to wince at everything because she's so offended by all these boys.
Just apropos of nothing, is American Pie, which is so very much attached to this movie series now, is that a phrase? Like, as American as apple pie is a thing. Yeah. American Pie.
That's, I buy a Miss American Pie.
Miss American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
But American Pie.
I don't know if you caught this because it's a subtle scene, but he sticks his erect penis into a pie in the middle of the movie.
Okay, so.
Did you catch that? It's an Easter egg.
You know, I got up and left halfway through, so I think I missed that.
You made yourself a sandwich at the exact wrong moment.
I went to Run P, the app that tells you when to go, and it said that wasn't really important to the plot, so I skipped that part.
I mean, I don't want to like pick on this movie, but
you don't want to pick on this movie. Like, that's the whole point of this podcast. Pick
oh yeah, that's
movie.
Right. I do want to pick on this movie, but all the raunchy parts are just so half baked. Pun that it just makes like when the movie opens with him masturbating to scrambled porn, a rite of passage, and his mom walks in and he doesn't even like fumble or get startled. He just sort of covers his dick up with a pillow.
He mutes the TV. Just turn it off.
He doesn't even mute the TV. It's such a fucking, I'm like, lock your door. And why aren't you bothered by your mom walking into the room while you have this on? Like, do anything. I was just like, why is this happening? Later on, I mean, he talks to the boys, the gang, and they tell him that fingering a girl is like sticking your fingers in a warm apple pie. What a coincidence. Later on in the movie, his mom bakes him an apple pie, his favorite, all for him, apparently. And rather than like, I mean, even if you wanted to like take this to its raunchy extremes, take the pie upstairs. Why would you fuck the pie on the island of the kitchen?
The only thing I can get in this, I only noticed it this time, is the note does says, I'll be back late. And yeah. I don't know why, maybe he assumed that also his dad would be gone until late.
He thought his dad was dead. That was one of the cut plot lines, is the comical misunderstanding where he thinks that Eugene Levy is dead.
Yeah, and we're all the worse for it. Let me ask you a question.
Naturally, of course, Eugene Levy walks in while he's banging that pie.
Have you, and were you ever caught?
Caught banging a pie?
Masturbating, touching yourself, doing anything raunchy.
Aside from the very traumatic memory I had as a child, I had noticed how my penis works while my bath was being drawn. And I mean, I'm like 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
And I noticed how my penis works, and it got hard. And I was like, Mom, look at what it does. And she's like, don't ever touch it. That's what happens when you touch it too much. She was doing her best.
That's what happened. That's why you're gay.
I think I had some close calls, but nothing gym level.
No, yeah.
Nothing gym level.
I definitely was, I don't remember if it was like scrambled porn or something, but I was watching something on the TV, which I had in my room at my mom's house, and she walked in and I did like the quick turn off and like rolled over kind of thing. And then she knew that I was awake and then I had the TV on. I don't know if she knew anything more than that. But she then goes, go to sleep. And then just closed the door.
Yeah, I think I had a close call where I was exploring my body, which is a healthy thing that you can do. Don't do the thumbs down. Don't do the thumbs down when I'm talking about masturbation, Riverside. That's fucked up. I was exploring my body, which is a healthy thing to do.
Perfectly.
And I think I got a knock on the door. Mom was bringing like laundry. And then, you know, I managed to reassemble myself.
Put a huge pillow over.
And I hadn't gotten very far into it. So, I mean, the whole scene that I like to lay out. And she was like, who are you talking to? And I was like, oh, I was singing to myself.
Why was there talking?
I don't think there was talking. I think there was a sound.
Oh.
And then she said to me, don't touch it. That's what happens when you touch it too much. I thought I told you this.
I feel like I've definitely at some point told you this, but there was a point, probably more prepubescent, that I thought that masturbating was just like pulling the pants down and just like leaving it.
Just handle. There you go.
Just like.
Done.
Look, Ma. Don't say look, Ma.
I thought it was literally like you would a doorstop on, attached to the house. It was just like. That's what I thought it was until completion. Actually, I don't think I knew, I guess until you were bored, until I didn't know that there was an actual literal climax that could happen. Well, that's enough of that. Good night, honey.
I do want to point out that kind of along the lines of what we're talking about and this movie, like, I do think
along those lines,
I do think this movie does get some things right in terms of the real post-pubescent obsession with sexuality and like relationships, and it's like it means everything. And I think that a lot of kids are idiots. Most of us were idiots. Some of us still are idiots.
And sex education in this country is a mess, and morality in this country is also a fucking mess.
There's a lot of shame.
Those things combine into...
It's weird that like consent is something that's like... The importance of consent is a relatively like... it's not completely new, but it's a thing that's like they wouldn't have talked about that much. It would have been like, hey, it's important to have consent, but then they would have like...
Oh, she smiled at you from across the room? You're in.
You are. And then, you know, there's the romantic teen comedies are like, never give up on this love that you're destined and stuff like that, which, you know, don't...
Yeah, that's true.
Don't get
too,
your
yeah.
moralities from a movie, but at the same time, it's like, you know, this is what you grow up with, and you've got all these things and these hormones, and you're like, you know, and I do think that this gets some of that accurate.
Yeah.
And just the sort of, it's gross, and boys are very gross. Heterosexual boys, certainly in 1999,
I could practically smell Jim's room when we panned across it. I was like, poor Nadia. She doesn't deserve this.
Right. Exactly. Just like being in that room, and Jason Biggs in this role is very sweaty. And apparently, like, where they were filming was very hot. So there's that, too. But also, like...
Everyone is sweaty, and I think I won't fault the movie for that, because I feel like that's an HD TV problem. But everyone was so moist in this movie.
Pretty accurate,
glossy.
I think, too. 17-year-olds.
True. Everyone looked like they kind of stunk.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, everyone... Lock your doors. Although I will say, it is a thing to say, if you're a kid and you're living in my house, you can't lock your door. Like, we weren't allowed to lock our doors. Like, you could. It's not like there was a mechanism, but the deal is, you know, you shouldn't be doing anything that would prevent us from knocking in and getting, you know, come in and coming in. But
you should be doing, I would argue, you should be doing something at that age that would require locking your doors. Let me fucking jack it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's 100% healthy either. Yeah, like, because stuff like what we were talking about, your mom, don't touch it. That's not good either. And I would say, Jim's dad.
If that makes it into our video reel clip, I'm not posting that one. She follows us. I can't post
it. Absolutely.
I don't think she listens to us, but I won't post a clip maligning that a saint of a woman.
Jim's dad is pretty cool about all this. He's very funny because it's Eugene Levy, and he's very funny. And apparently he improvised a lot of his dialogue, if not all of it, and that checks out. He's very awkward. He's trying his best. He's being very... open, and he's trying to be like, say, he buys the reason that Jim has nudie mags is because his dad buys them for him to be like, here's the female form, here's the clitoris. And I love it that Jim's like, I know where the clitoris, and he's like, oh, do you? Oh, okay, I didn't realize. And then they're like arguing, and it's pretty funny.
Also, dollars to donuts, Jim does not know where the clitoris is.
He does in a health class sense, perhaps, but not in a practical sense. But yeah. Jim's dad's being pretty cool about it. He's trying.
Yeah, I thought that he was trying, and I appreciated that. All the SCTV, all the Christopher Guest alums in this movie like kept it afloat, which is just the two, right?
It's just the two.
We just have Jennifer Coolidge and Eugene. I keep saying SCTV, I mean just the Christopher Guest troupe.
Yeah, I don't love Stifler's mom as a character, what she like she's decides to bone down with her son's friend. Who's in high school. That's pretty gross.
I only liked it as a humiliation for Stifler.
I like it as a humiliation for Stifler. And it's the they play Mrs. Robinson. That's pretty funny. And I just love Jennifer Coolidge because who doesn't?
She's great. And it's fun. I mean, it's fun. I mean, this is when she entered like into the consciousness of America. She brought us the word MILF.
Released popular.
She's very charming in this. And that does bring up Stifler, who's... Maybe aside from Stifler's mom, by association, he is also remembered from this movie. He's ostensibly our villain, but also friends with our I mean, he's not really a villain, but he is friends with our heroes, which also, I feel like, casts a poor light upon them.
Yeah.
Because he fucking sucks.
He sucks, but he's got the cool house. He's clearly got, like, the nice houses.
His mom seems pretty chill about it. Like, they're cool with him having... out in the basement.
They're cool with him having parties, and they do say at one point that you know, because they have this big after-prom party at Stifler's lake house, that they're like, this is why we've been friends with Stifler, was for this moment. And the one guy, or I think it was Finch, he's like, we're friends with Stifler? which is kind of funny.
Well, Finch makes no qualms about the fact that he hates
Stifler. They're frenemies, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like Stifler is definitely another, you mentioned he's kind of the, what is Belushi's character from Animal House?
Yeah, Bluto. I've never actually seen
it. I haven't Animal either. House. We should probably watch it because I feel like this is very much in the vein of that. He's the kind of like party animal guy. He's like the party director. And he does kind of get his comeuppance because his frenemy sleeps with his mom and
humiliates him in a Oedipal sense.
He gets like the cheap laugh lines, but he also has some funny things where at one point Oz is trying to kind of like be kind of show off in front of Heather, his new love interest, and is like, "You're being so insensitive." And Stifler's just, he goes, "What?" Like, he's just so confused in his face.
He does have a very expressive face. I don't know if I ever found anyone who was a teenager in this movie funny at all. I spent the entire movie mostly stone-faced, and I wasn't like resisting. I was just like, is anyone going to make any semblance of a joke at any point? Aside, I mean, the cum was doing a lot of the work in the beer scene, but no one actually made a joke, it felt like, for the entire movie.
There's a couple, like, there's like little lines. It's more delivery than actual lines. Like, they're not set up punchline, but the choir guy who does come back later, you know, the one that we were talking about that pops out of nowhere, I think it's when Oz says, "I'll take the solo." He just, like, under his breath goes, like,
like, yeah, that's how we know he needs his comeuppance.
That was pretty funny.
That was it? that was the funny
part?
Just
the delivery of dick.
I felt like the only things I laughed at in this movie were, again, oh, go ahead. You had another one.
Well, Jim, at one point when he's, I think he's when he's going to knock on the door because Nadia's, or not knock on the door, but just walk in because he knows mm-hmm. Nadia's in there pleasuring herself. He goes, "Oh boy, oh crap, oh no." Like, just the way he says it. It kind of sounded like Eugene Levy, actually. I liked that. It kind of seemed like he was channeling his TV dad.
I think my favorite line in this was not funny on its own merit, but because it was delivered by Chris Klein, he said this to Mina Suvari, and this actually worked on her. He said, "I just realized I didn't know anything about you, and I was interested." It's like, I am a human male. I am interested in your species. What?
Yeah. And again, not necessarily a funny line, but the delivery was good. Allison Hannigan. Not the famous line where she says one time paying him, but when they're having coitus and she says, "Say my name, bitch." And it's pretty funny. It's out of nowhere. And he's like, "What?" It's pretty good delivery.
Yeah, she does a good job with the little she's given. Well, she's actually probably given, of all the women in this movie, I feel like she's given the most, maybe aside from Stifler's mom.
She might be my, I don't know. It's either, I guess it's got a, Eugene Levy is not a surprise, but Eugene Levy might be Catherine O'Hara, maybe. I don't know. Allison Hannigan was pretty good too. I don't know.
I did have one Eugene Levy line because, like you were saying, I should have mentioned this earlier, but like you were saying, he's obviously a little uncomfortable and he's trying to, you know, put Jim at ease. And he says, "Ah, look at this picture of us that we got last year or something." And it's this really awkward, like awkward family photos. Like they're all sort of leaning on each other, looking off into the distance. And he goes, "That was a fun day, wasn't it? I want to talk to you about masturbation." And it reminded me, that was another instance that actually did remind me of, like, every time my parents like to space out the sex talks. I got, like, it was like a mini series, like over what felt like years, but it was probably just over the course of like 9 months. I felt like we had three or four, like, "Hey, we wanted to talk to you about this specific aspect of sex now." I'm like, "Oh my God."
Fisting.
And they were uncomfortable. And they always, like, it was a very ham-fisted introduction. "Before you go upstairs and do your homework, I just wanted to talk to you about cunnilingus." I'm like, "No need. Thank you."
Did you notice that the awful band at the prom is playing Midnight at the Oasis?
I did. And I turned to, I looked at Tyler and I went, "Midnight at the Oasis." And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh, in Waiting for Guffman, Eugene," which also has Eugene Levy in it, Catherine O'Hara.
It's her and Fred Willard.
Willard. "Midnight at the Oasis."
Do you want us to strike the set? We work with Corky all the time, so we know all the terms.
I was telling Tyler about how Catherine O'Hara, let's talk about a better movie. Catherine O'Hara's character in that, you know, Fred Willard and her act like they're the Taylor and Burton of Blaine, Missouri. And they're actually very terrible, but probably the best Blaine has off to offer. But whenever Fred Willard sang his lines in their audition, she's
mouthing them. It.
Because she's just trying to keep track of where they are. And I remember there was a guy in my theater class who, whenever you had a line with him, you could tell, like, He wasn't acting against you. He was just waiting for you to stop talking so he can say the line that he was like sort of muttering under his breath. And I'm like, no, just like a person would say the line like you're thinking of it as you're saying it. Waiting for Guffman's good, huh?
Yeah.
Back to American Pie.
I want to give a small shout. It was confusing for the reason that you pointed out earlier, which is like, where did these characters come from? But there's the coach, the lacrosse coach, that's sort of pepping up the team and then leads to Oz saying, actually, I'm going to leave and go do the choir thing. But there's also the assistant coach who just repeats words that the, and I actually love that character for the 2 seconds he's in the movie, because in some ways, like, yeah, culmination. He just like picks a word from the sentence and says it again. I feel like that's a trope from the, like a teen comedy trope. That like there's some like
useless dweeby
assistant or something like that.
I do appreciate really grasping at straws here, but it does feel like this is firmly planted in the perspective of the teens. Adults are almost non-existent in this film, for as much as they're at school and like doing things. There are, you know, aside from Jim's dad and mom, and then Stifler's mom, I think there's a brief shot at, there's these coaches, and I think we get a brief like conversation from a history teacher.
Jim's mom is in it for a second, yeah.
Right. But otherwise, like, adults are almost non-existent in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
almost like a Peanuts. A Peanuts thing. Yeah, exactly. I also wanted to point out that something that I didn't even think of the first time I saw it as a teen, but hey, Thomasine and Nicholas, you don't have to wait for a book to eat out your girlfriend. I mean, I was so bothered that she was like blowing him and nothing was expected of him giving her a blowjob. I was happy. I was watching. I was like, what the fuck is this? What is this? Is this what heterosexuals do? And luckily I was like, thankfully he learned the tongue tornado or whatever the hell it was called, which looks like you just sort of motorboat it from what I could gather. Try it.
You know, people are made all sort of different ways and shapes and like all kinds of different things. You got to try some things.
True. I will say Thomasine and Nicholas was the hottest of the four boys, I decided, because he kind of got those druggy eyes I like. He also seemed like the most normal looking. He looked like a teenager. I'd like to strike that from that, because now I just said he was the hottest and he looked like a teenager. Stifler's mom walks in. He's very cute and he looks like just a normal high school student who'd be in here, not Chris Klein, who is like 20 feet tall, the shoulders like across a room, and then the hair of a kid going to Easter services.
When it is, we were talking about the girls getting short shrift, and part like there's not, we get Natasha Lyonne and Tara Reid's friendship, you know, or at least Natasha Lyonne trying her damnedest to have friendship chemistry with Terry.
Still doesn't pass the Bechdel test because they're just talking about boys.
And then, but like, we never see Michelle and Allison Hannigan with anything other than her boy band nerds. There might be a girl in the band nerd group. They're so nameless and faceless that I don't remember. But they're not like friends.
They're like a Greek chorus behind her.
There's like girls that are like around Shannon Elizabeth, the Nadia, the foreign exchange student, like at the party, but we never like have any lines from them.
No lines, so you can pay them the day rate. Don't worry. Yeah, about
there's
it.
There's like a girl who talks about Finch, and like there's just like there's not like really an equivalent of our, I don't think we need like four girls that are like the opposite of our boys.
You want the Chipettes?
I just
like you got the Chipmunks and the Chipettes.
I just want them to be fully fleshed out characters is what I really want.
Not interested, says American Pie.
Well, and they're not really interested to be like, I guess,
not really interested in the boys.
They're not really
either.
Interested in the boys being fully fleshed out characters either. But I do think that's kind of in line with this kind of raunchy teen comedy movie. Like, it's not like they come from a long line of super well fleshed out characters.
Right.
I don't think that necessarily.
I mean, even a rough sketch would be fine. Like, I guess Chris Klein's the jock, but the rest of them are all just like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And the one drinks coffee. So.
And the one drinks coffee and wears blazers.
Is there anything else you want to say? I feel like I'm leading up to the verdict. I don't have a whole lot else.
Begging Thomasine and Nicholas to eat out Tara Reid. Chris Klein has terrible hair. Tara Reid has great hearing. I don't know why I wrote. Oh, she was able to hear like a snide comment Thomasine and Nicholas said from like across a crowded kitchen where the fucking Bare Naked Ladies are playing full blast. She can hear them from across the room. It's deranged.
Yep,
it's like a Shakespearean. It's like a Shakespearean moment. I'm like, how did she hear him?
To be fair, he's a 17-year-old or whatever, just probably shouting.
Probably screaming. Yeah, suck me beautiful I have here. Why come in the beer? Yeah, I blame Nadia here for not just changing and getting out. So it's kind of her fault. Yeah, let's get out of here.
All right. Let's go to the verdict.
DJ, what do you think of this movie?
Well, I have some nominees. I don't know where to put this nominee, but I gotta give props to the soundtrack, and it's only just because of when it was. I was also 17 when this movie came out, and so these are very like formative songs that were very of the time. There's Semi-Charmed Life, there's Tonic, You Wanted More, there's
there's Harvey Danger,
Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger, there's One Week by Bare Naked Ladies. It was a big BNL fan.
The straightest thing about me is I was also a BNL fan for an extended period.
I don't know where to give that. I just want
you
want to
give that the Catherine O'Hara Award, or you want to give that the Sally Field Award?
I think Catherine O'Hara's got to be Eugene Levy.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. Not our heroes. None of them will be Catherine O'Hara winners. I'll be damn sure for any movie they ever do, they will never be Catherine O'Hara winners. Yeah, I will give it to Eugene Levy.
It's appropriate. I think
I can second that.
To give Catherine O'Hara to Eugene
Levy. Yeah, give it to John and Moira Rose united at last. I'll give it to Eugene Levy. I think, I mean, Jennifer Coolidge is fun in that sort of, again, because the perspective is a teenage perspective, it is very charming when she shows up and she's sort of this, in the beginning of the movie, she's Chekhov's mom that she's just waiting for her to show up. And when she does, it does work. Yeah, there's like a creepy aspect to it, but it works enough for me. And they got it wriggled out of the legality problem.
Yeah.
So good on them. But yeah, I'll second that. Do you want to talk about the movie or do you have a Sally Field scene?
I don't have one that I can
think of. The tongue tornado?
No.
Remember when she said, I'm coming, and her dad was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Didn't that just make you laugh because she was coming and she meant it one way and the father took it another way?
I want to get Natasha Lyonne in there, but she didn't have like a single scene that really like...
I mean, yeah, she was coasting on just... I don't mean coasting like she wasn't doing a good job, but like if anyone else played that character, it would have been just as forgettable as all the other characters in this. The fact that Natasha Lyonne, just from her own force of personality, just brings in... I'm like, what's her story? What's she doing? Can we hang out with her some more? She sounds like she smokes a pack a day. She's 17 years old. Let's hang out. I don't even know if I have a Sally Field.
We don't have to.
We could give a Storm Award if you want to.
Ooh. To Oz?
To
Chris Klein?
Well, no. To Shannon Elizabeth's scene. Because it's so offensive.
Oh, just for being, not for her bad acting, but just for being offensive?
Yeah. It's for that. Yeah.
We could come up with a new award, the Jason Biggs Memorial Offensive Scene Award.
I actually have thought that we shouldn't have named it the Storm Award for the worst scene or the worst moment of the movie. We should have named it the Four Hobbits Jumping on a Bed Award.
Oh, yes.
Because that's really a terrible scene in an otherwise good movie. That's not the case here.
Yeah.
Don't get high on your laurels, American Pie. Okay, I will have to draw Four Hobbits Jumping on a Bed.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You'll have to draw characters from your favorite thing.
I'll just pull it from my stores that I already have.
So anyway, the movie.
All right, this fantastic movie. Hold on, I'm writing Catherine O'Hara, Eugene, and Bad Award, whatever, to be determined.
I do like the Four Hobbits Jumping on a Bed Memorial Bad Scene Award.
Bad Scene Award. Oh yeah, Nadia's Revenge Porn. All right, you want to do your verdict?
Yeah, so I was worried that this movie wouldn't hold up. That in today's world, where... consent is important, and women are somehow three-dimensional people with their own lives.
When
and
we
wants,
finally got that technology
desires.
To make women three-dimensional, it was amazing. What a breakthrough! But unfortunately, after American Pie was released,
and I was right. This movie, I was more charmed than I think I expected. But the guys don't. They kind of a little bit learn a lesson, but it's not really. They more just kind of get what they want, just in a way that they didn't expect. Which I guess is a lesson, but not necessarily the lesson that people should be taking away from a situation like this. You're in Charles an idiot. I don't think, like, I think if this was special to you, like if you were our age or around our age and you like were like, yeah, that was pretty funny when I was a teenager, just let it be there in your memory. Because I don't think bringing it back up is going to do anybody any good. Everybody in the movie, just they seem to be doing fine. They're all okay. Okay. Let's just let them be. Jason Biggs Twittered himself out of work.
Tara Reid, you okay?
Tara Reid
had
a rough go at it. And that was gross because that was, you know, one of those attractive teen actress gets kind of too much media attention and doesn't know what to do with it. And then not to say some of that isn't her you know, decisions, but it's also kind of gross the whole way. It's whole, like, the plastic surgery stuff and speculation. It's like, that's gross. I don't care. But all that to say, don't watch this movie. It's bad. You're in a child's an idiot. What do you think, Damon?
You know, I mean, going into a teen raunchy comedy, you know.
It also wasn't that funny. Let me just jump back in. If it was really funny, I think I could have let, you know me. I let a lot of shit slide if you make me laugh.
You love a good chuckle. You've always said that about yourself. You love a guffaw. You like a belly laugh.
Not that funny. Okay. Back to you. Sorry.
I was just about to say, yeah, when you go into a teen sex comedy, you hope that it's raunchy and you hope that it's funny. This movie, I guess, I mean, it's not even, I mean, it's offensive. Like, the naughty stuff is offensive. I mean, there's the cum. Otherwise, it's not really that funny. It doesn't even seem to attempt to be funny. It seems to be coasting on the fact that, like, aren't you uncomfortable, like, watching these teenagers, like, sort of fumble all over the place? Eugene Levy is a bright spot, but otherwise, this movie is just boring a lot of the time. And it reminded me of just a lot of how we do not consider women's sexuality whatsoever. Part of that is the theme of the movie. I mean, I think that is somewhat what the boys may learn near the end, but it doesn't feel like the movie's really trying to lean into that. It's just sort of like, it feels like the sappy moment at the end of a sitcom where, we gotta do the girl shit now, get it out of the way. But this isn't a good movie. Honestly, I mean, I would list it as a forgettable movie more than a bad movie. I think if it hadn't been like the thing that brought like raunchy sex comedies back to life in the late 90s, it would be otherwise completely forgettable.
Yeah. Do you think, did you learn anything from the unrated version that you accidentally rented that you want to
talk about? I am curious. How much of Shannon Elizabeth's nipples did you get on your screen?
Oh, all of them. Yeah.
Okay. But like, were they just like there in the corner of your screen, like for extended periods of time? Not disembodied. I mean, they were still attached to the rest of her body. They weren't just like floating around.
I don't know.
Okay. I felt she's like that. Naked. Like she was always so. She is naked. I mean, she does take her top off. And I remember that from the original. But I mean, I didn't remember. She's just sort of like leaning on the bed and just like her tits are still like in frame the entire time. I'm like, is this from me? Is this what happens in the thing? I don't know what else would have been cut from this.
When he fucks the pie, what did you see in this version?
Well, there's a consent scene where he talks to the pie and the pie's like pretty cool with it.
Pie's into it.
No, I mean, he's just on top of it. It looks like Wile E. Coyote had fallen on it. That's what it looks like. I'm like, is this your preferred position? Because that's not going to be good. But it's just like you sort of see his butt, but like it's sort of covered by his like oversized bowling shirt that he insists on wearing for everything. So you don't really see much.
We all made a lot of mistakes in 99.
If you wait a little bit, I think they're on the way back. So just you get them out of the vacuum seal packs. You got them in your attic.
Hey, Gen Z, you don't listen to this. If you're not listening to this, but if you are.
They already.
If you are. This 90s thing, I know it's too late. You're already into it. Don't do this to yourselves. We already did this.
Sherman, aside from his hair, I mean, he was dressed like half of the New Yorker kids that I saw on the subway. Just complete JNCOs. Tight top.
Don't do done. This. Don't do this. Looks like a you're going to regret it. In the theatrical cut, I guess, he's doing, you only see him from behind on the counter. He's not like fully on top of the pie. He just gives a couple thrusts and you see him from behind.
Oh, really?
There's more apple pie fucking in the unrated version.
I mean, the crust is all over the place. And then later, apparently he and his father have reassembled the pie into the tin, are sitting at a table, and they're like, let's tell your mother we ate it all.
Yeah.
But I was like, why do you guys take the time to put it all back in the tin?
They just had to reflect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a father-son activity.
What do you think, everybody? Email us, yourinnerchildisanidiot@gmail.com. You can text us or leave us a voicemail, 615-576-0525. We want to thank our friend Russ Weaver for the use of his song Top of Two for our ad music. We want to thank Jackson Has an Unhealthy Obsession with Damon for our Damon's Problematic Corner music. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/yourinnerchildisanidiot. Oh, I forgot to say, we still are still doing a survey.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to... Please, we have a 2023 recap episode that we did. You can only get it by filling out our survey. So go to the link and the whatnot and take the survey and get a free episode. And it's the only place you can get it. And that would really help us as we gather information. And we want to thank our patrons. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/yourinnerchildisanidiot. And we want to thank our current patrons, including Little Miss Chicken Nugget.
Just Cuz.
Lindsay Halleck.
Scalvasaurus.
James Taylor.
T. Smith.
Article Man.
The supreme ruler of this podcast.
Karen Curd.
The Zesty.
Larissa Maestro.
Dramatically placed hot dog.
Jeremy Palin.
Travis Vance.
Bill Haynes.
Dr. Malcolm's heaving bosom.
Shit on the cartouche.
Tommy Boy is my favorite movie.
His Honor the Mayor.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
The Hands of Fate.
Jackson has an unhealthy obsession with me.
Jonathan Day.
Women's Australian accent.
Heather Tuggle.
Beth Sermont.
Lindsay Nell.
David Mort.
Caroline Amberson.
The elusive fan Gromkin.
Zachary Hartley.
And Josh Frigo. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all very much. If you want to support like them, patreon.com/yourinnerchildisanidiot. It's been...
Oh, that guy also had a cocaine problem.
I think that's the other guy. That was Stephen Page.
Yeah, not Ed.
Not Ed.
Stephen had to leave the group.
When one of the two main guys, the main singers, left Bare Naked Ladies and they just like kept going. Everybody's like, all right.
They're like, we're going to do the Big Bang Theory. We're going to coast on that Big Bang Theory life for a while.
Get that BBT money, baby.
It's almost like the Shrek song a little bit. You can just get me going with it.
Some.
Whereas somebody...